Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Torrent Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Menon. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to quarter three FY23 earnings call. Quarter two revenue growth was around 7%, which was aided by performance of the branded generic market, which constituted around 70% of the total revenue and registered a YOY growth of 13%. Growth in the branded generic market was driven by new launch momentum and performance of the top brands. In terms of financial performance during the quarter, revenues were 2,291 crores, up by 7% on year-on-year basis. Gross margins were 72% and has improved on a sequential basis. There is a one-off income of 7 crores in the line item operating income, and adjusted for that, the operating EBITDA stands at 29.4%. I now hand over to Aman for taking us through the India performance.
Thanks, Sudhir. India revenue at 1,224 crores grew by 13%. As per AIOCD data, Torrent's growth in Q2 was 19% versus the IPM growth of 13%. Torrent's growth was aided by new launches, performance of top brands, and market outperformance across our focus therapies. As per the end of the quarter, Torrent now has 12 brands with more than 100 crore sales as of the MAT September 2022 data set, and 17 brands in the top 500 of the IPM. A few highlights from the recent new launches. Sitagliptin was launched in July, and Torrent is ranked first out of all the new launched brands in July. We expect the launch momentum to continue and are positive on maintaining our leadership position in this market. The rest of the launches from the earlier quarters continue to perform well in leadership positions. Our acquisition of Curatio Healthcare was completed on 14th October 2022, and it's been about a week now since the business has been integrated, and we will update on the progress of integration by the end of next quarter. I will now hand over to Mr. Sanjay Gupta for the international business.
Thanks, Aman. Starting with Brazil, which is our largest branded generic market outside of India. Brazil revenues were at 185 crore rupees, were up by 19%. Constant currency revenues were at 121 million, up by 10%. During the quarter, we experienced enhanced competition on one of our key launches, rivaroxaban, and another cardio product, which led to price reduction, substantial price reduction. There are currently 13 branded generic players in rivaroxaban. Adjusted for these price reduction, our growth for this quarter would have been close to 20%. On rivaroxaban, our market share is progressing well, and it stood at 4% in August as compared to 3% in June. As per secondary data set from IQVIA, Torrent's branded generic business is currently growing at 14.4% as compared to a branded generic market growth of 12.1%. Our CNS field force is being expanded in a phased manner. We currently have 306 sales reps in Brazil, including 41 CNS reps that were added in November of 2021. Results of this expansion have been positive. With the market growth of high single-digit to double-digit, we expect Brazil to continue its growth momentum backed by performance of our top brands, new launches, field force expansion, as well as our generics division. Moving on to Germany. Germany revenues were at 220 crores, were down by 12%. Constant currency revenue was 27 million, a degrowth of 5%. Revenues bottomed out in Q4 of last year and have grown slightly in Q1 and Q2. Relative stability and a slight incremental growth is coming from new launches, of which we had four in Q1, and we also had six launches in Q2. These launches included one day one launch in Q1 and four day one launches in Q2. Q2 day one launches were towards the end of September, so the positive impact will be seen in subsequent months. We expect our sales in Germany to continue on a positive trend at a modest pace until major 10 wins start to kick in towards the end of the year. Moving on to the US, US revenues were at 292 crores, were up by 3%. Constant currency revenue was at 37 million. During the quarter, US FDA inspected our manufacturing facility at Indra, Gujarat, and at the end of the inspection, we got a Form 483 with three observations. Torrent has already responded to the US FDA within the stipulated time, and we expect to hear back from the FDA in the next 90 days. To conclude, I would say that we expect our growth momentum to continue in branded generic markets, particularly in India and Brazil, backed by new launches, market outperformance, field force expansion, and the acquisition of the acquired portfolio. Germany should continue on a modest positive trend. Operator, we can open the call to questions, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on India business. So first, can you split quarter growth into price, volume and new launches? And continuing question on India business is, you have seen very healthy 13% growth in 2Q as well as in the first half. So do you see like sufficient lever to sustain this kind of growth, or do you think we can move to higher growth trajectory with Curatio portfolio coming in some of the previous initiative working for the segment?
So the AIOCD data reflection shows 19% growth. So obviously that's a slightly higher reflection this quarter than the reported numbers. But the breakup of the 19% is 6% volume, 9% price, and 4% new products. We believe that the internal growth is pretty much in line with the earlier quarter and the market trend. So maybe by next quarter there should be a better reflection of the AIC data set in terms of volumes and new products. In terms of sustaining this growth, we think we are confident of maintaining this level of double-digit growth, 13-14%. Last quarter was 14%, this quarter is 13%. So no reason to think that there's anything that could change over here as long as the market remains at this level. And of course, by the end of this quarter, there should be just over 2 months of the Curatio sale that will come in. So that will be, one-off base impact that we should see. But at the underlying level, this level of double-digit growth for India is something that we are confident in sustaining.
Okay. My second question is on Germany. So if I'm not mistaken, earlier you mentioned the new contracts will open up somewhere in September, October of this year. Apparently that was not the case. So when you are hoping to bid in new tenders with better prices which you have worked on?
So I think earlier we had communicated that you would start seeing the impact of new tenders from Q3 onwards. So you would see a slight impact in Q3. You'll also see the impact of the four launches we had towards the end of September. And then you'll see a larger impact in Q4 of the new tender wins.
So majority of improvement should be visible in the last quarter of this fiscal for job business.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prabodh from Tatva Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to, this is a question regarding Curatio. So just want to understand, see, after Finance Bill 2021, amortization of goodwill has been disallowed for claiming deduction in income tax. So how exactly are we going to treat the excess consideration paid for the book value for QRAQ?
Yeah, so I think as a process, there is a purchase price allocation which will be carried out. And as you rightly, as far as goodwill is concerned, yes, it cannot be amortized. But if you are creating intangibles which are in the form of brands and maybe non-competent stuff, those amortizations are still available.
Understood. Thanks. Yeah. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So just on the Germany, when we are expecting good ramp up from Q4, would it be on the back of the new product or gaining back share in the older product?
So it's a cumulative impact, right? So the impact is coming essentially from some tender wins that we have already had those wins, and the sales would start in Q3 and Q4, plus the impact of new launches, of which we've launched 10 products in the first half of the year and expect to launch 5 to 7 more products more in the second half of the year.
Okay, and how does the competitive intensity there in terms of when you say you have basically won the tender for some of the products, would the pricing be very similar to what we would have seen last year or whenever the last tendering happened, or is it very different now?
No, the competitive intensity in the generics market goes up every year, so the pricing tends to go down. So Germany is not very different. The rate of price deceleration is slightly, lower than in the US. And also the business is more stable because most tender wins are for 2-year periods. And generally there is no switching within the 2-year window. Hence, the market is more stable, but the trends are in line with other generic markets.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. On the US market, one is like, what is the intensity of price erosion? Any comments there? And on Indrad side, how many ANDAs are pending from there? And in case, and if you can throw some light on the nature of observations, and in case it gets cleared, what would it mean for our business? Any interesting high value launch that can come through?
So essentially, from Indrad, we have about 19 products which are pending approval. So we would hear back from the FDA in 90 days. So I would not like to speculate on what the FDA's decision-making would be. We have responded to the best of our ability with the CAPAs that we proposed for the 3 observations. And once the FDA, if it converts the status from OAI to VAI or NAI, we can expect approvals to trickle in. The approval for the 19 currently pending projects on Indrad would take after January between 6 to 12 months. So it won't be an immediate switch-on type of scenario, and these approvals would come in a trickle manner. And what we would expect is that there is already a high degree of competitive intensity on most of these projects. So the economic impact for Torrent would be limited, but there are still a few products which have potential for revenues, but let's see how it goes. But first you have to do FDA clearance and then get approvals and then launch in the market context at that point in time.
And any comment on the pricing environment in the US?
Price erosion continues, so I would say at a substantially higher level. So Torrent, as we have only a base older portfolio, we've not essentially had new launches since March of 2019, we would be disproportionately impacted. So I would say that a mature portfolio like ours is it's double-digit price erosion. It continues. And we are compensating it with some of the volume increases as well as some of the few launches that we've had in the last 2-3 years from external parties. But no change in the price erosion trend.
Okay. And another question, if I can ask on the cost. So Sudhir, can you throw some light as to what how different cost items have moved, where are they versus last quarter, and how you see costs, the key cost item panning out going forward?
So Saion, compared to quarter one, I would say quarter two is looking quite stable. There's no major increases which we are seeing in the cost side.
And, I mean, is it coming down or is it still stuck at an elevated level?
No, I think as far as the key raw material part is concerned, there are pockets where the prices have gone up and there are pockets where the prices have come down. But on an overall portfolio basis, is what I'm saying, it's looking quite stable. The other big impact item for us was on the logistics cost, which still has not come down. It's at the same level as quarter three of 21-22, I would say.
Okay. So overall, you see the margin profile to sort of remain at the current levels, both at the gross and EBITDA margin level?
I would think so, because I don't see any major change happening, at least in quarter three.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sanjay, on the Brazil market, you mentioned price competition in two of your products, leading to lower growth versus what we would have ideally seen. Just wanted to understand, was this not expected and hence, were we surprised by the price erosion? Because, it's a branded market, so was this like a one-time revision in pricing that we saw? Just, getting some color on that.
Well, firstly, Neha, I would say that when we launched the product, it was not expected because we were amongst the first five people to launch. And besides, after we launched, about eight new companies have come to the market at lower and lower price points. So at some point in time, the launch price becomes non-sustainable. So that was one of the reasons why we took a major price decrease on Vivar Oxaban, which, as you know, is one of the largest markets in Brazil. And so we are seeing that, initially our priority remains to penetrate the market to get some of the originator share. Mm-hmm. And we felt that the price reduction at this point would keep us competitive. So, but we were surprised by the large number of players who entered subsequent to our launch.
And, given that a large part of the business strategy that we talk about is based on, new launches coming through and driving that double-digit growth, is the existing scenario probably example of how the other launches could also, pan out and therefore could growth in Brazil be slower than what we're expecting given the competition that you've seen, in the current quarter?
Well, I have launched seven products in the last, 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit all over the place. So if you take the largest products that we launched, which is Rivaroxaban, there are 13 players. The other product we launched is Dicen Lafaxine, where there are 11 players. But we've also launched products like Ticagrelor, where we are the only generic on the market. We've launched Vivabradin, where we are the only generic. We've launched Bisoprolol, we are number three in the market, three players. Lacosamide, we are the second generic. So it's a little bit all over the map, right? So the biggest products tend to attract a lot of, competitors. But mid-size or smaller products, you can still find opportunities where it's not a double-digit number of competitors.
So therefore, we're still confident about growing the Brazilian business double-digit, based on the pipeline?
Absolutely. And also in the most competitive categories, we are used to winning. I mean, so the current business we have is not in, I would say, by any chance in limited competition markets. Our biggest product is Rosuvastatin, where we sell more than 100 crore rupees of Rosuvastatin in Brazil. And I stopped counting competitors after 20.
And in the, product where we've seen higher competition, have we been able to retain share or grow share despite, the higher competition that we've seen?
I would say the answer is categorically a yes. So, you know, if you take the largest product I just mentioned, Roseworth Patton, so where currently, let me see if I have the share with me. I'll give it to you. It's a double digit share that we have on Roseworth Patton. I don't have the share with me, but it's in the mid-teens. We've also grown share in large products like Mirtazapine, Venlafaxine, Lamotrigine, and the brands are very strong. So yeah, so we continue to perform well in large competitive markets.
Understood. Aman, on the India market, could you give us, you know, some color on how the trade generic is progressing? We were supposed to launch more SKUs in the trade generic. You know, how has that done in the quarter?
Yeah, that's on track. I think the growth has been quite robust last two quarters as well. And we believe that this target of 2.5 to 3% contribution in the near term is something that would be possible and sustainable. And there is a very stable, steady trend in the business that we're seeing.
Okay, so the contribution even in this quarter would have been in the 2.5%, 3% range.
That's right.
All right, got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, just to complete there, on the market share that we were discussing, on Roseworth Patton, for example, we have a market share of 23%. Nebivolol, we have 47%. Gliclazide, we have almost a 70% market share. Donepezil, 28%. So market shares are quite healthy across the board.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for follow-up. So my question is on U.S. business from a slightly longer-term perspective. So it appears that the market will continue to remain very challenging, and then we have other challenges such as regulatory or other compliance, etc. So is there a possibility that a few years down the line you plan to, I'll say, curtail your presence in U.S. or altogether exit that part of the business and then focus better on the branded generic market?
No, I don't think we are considering that possibility right now. What we've done over the last few years is rebalanced our investments. So we are not making new manufacturing related investments to the U.S. You know, we had the last investment was Dahej, and so after that we believe we have a substantial capacity for the next several years. So there is no new capex being done for the U.S. market. In terms of R&D also, we've decreased the number of projects that we do for the U.S. We've increased the complexity, but the goal of the company is no longer to file a high double-digit number of ANDAs, and we kind of rebalance the R&D investment more in favor of markets like Brazil and Germany. So all that kind of rebalancing has already taken place. So in the future, there's this trend is continuing, but I would just like to say that there are no plans to become non-competitive or to reduce our presence in the U.S.
Okay, that's helpful. So going ahead, you will continue to focus mostly in India and branded generic market from capital allocation perspective. So Curatio was one recent deal. So any other plans which are in, say, near term, 12 to 15 months, where you plan to add on?
Sudhir, can you comment on that?
No, I think currently that's it. Huh? I mean, Curatio, we did. Nothing which is there in pipeline.
Okay, and my last question on India business is, do you have any contribution from PLI scheme? In current numbers?
Yeah, but it's very insignificant, Damayanti.
Okay, and will it be meaningful anytime in near term?
Possibly from next year, I would say.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Vora from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Also, actually, even I wanted to ask more on the capital allocation front. So, from a 3 to 5 year perspective, say if you are allocating 100 rupees of capital, so how would you allocate it, or what is the thought process of allocating it between your geographies? So that is my first question.
So inorganic will remain India as a priority. So I would think that if you're looking at 100 rupees in the next 5 years, maybe minimum 90, even up to 100 could be in India for inorganic growth. Organic will obviously depend on the geographical need and maintenance capex, which would be insignificant. But for acquisitions or inorganic growth, India remains the only focus right now.
Okay, so so now given that you don't have any capex requirements, like your business will continue to churn a lot of cash, so can we assume that you'll be actively looking out for more inorganic, or you would pay out dividends? Like how what is the cash allocation, how will it be used?
Sudhir, you
want to
take that?
Oh yeah. So I think if the cash is not getting utilized or allocated for incremental growth, then yes, what you say is right. I mean, it will come back as dividends to you.
Okay, fair. And lastly, on the basically on India, US, India, Brazil, and Germany. So in terms of growth prospects for the next 3 to 5 years, is this understanding correct that India and Brazil would be double digits and Germany could be high single digits, or you think you can push the double digit barrier for Germany as well?
So India, Brazil, depending on how the market growth continues, which we believe that this double digit, close to double digit market growth should continue for both, then yes, there should be this continued delta of 3 to 4% above market growth that we should be able to deliver. Germany, I'll hand over to Mr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah, Germany, we're looking at, I would say, a single-digit growth. That's more like it. I mean, it can be mid to high single digits as we get results from more tenders. So we bid for many more tenders recently, and we are awaiting results. And if these come out on the right side, then the growth rate would accelerate. If these come out on the wrong side, it will slow down. So it's a little bit, you know, I would say mid to high single digit is attainable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Harsh Bhatia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Harsh from HDFC Mutual Fund. So I just wanted to get a sense on the sitagliptin market right now, particularly at a broader level from the diabetes space, what really is happening at the type 1 and type 2 level from a glimepiride or a Lipton perspective as well as insulin. So that is one, and just wanted to get a sense on the strategy for our sitagliptin products, because I think so the pricing is not too different for the players who have launched at the generic level. So just your thoughts.
So the new wave of launches in DPP-4s and SGLT-2s, sitagliptin being one of the latest DPP-4s launched in the market, there is a clear wave of a shift in preference of prescribers to these molecules, and while since all of the existing brands or molecules such as SUs from earlier are all chronic therapies, so they cannot see any major disruption, we believe the long-term trend already shows that there is a shift to these newer generation molecules, and seems to be so far that sitagliptin is one of the bigger benefactors there. And so we had undertaken an expansion last year for the chronic divisions where sitagliptin was one of the reasons where we had to focus on additionally. So I think that's where we have been able to have an edge over some of the competition.
Right. So would it be fair to say, for example, in one of our top 10 products, Azulix MF, which is a glimepiride, a metformin. So there you see enough stability to continue in that product itself?
Yeah, mid-single digit is what we're seeing. And even for the market, it's been slowing down, but it's not looking like it's going to degrow from here. It'll remain at this level because either patients continue on existing brands or they gradually shift when they go back to see the doctor if there's some additional diagnosis required. So it's a very, very gradual shift. And we've seen this happen earlier also when the earlier wave of SGLT2s were launched. The shift was very gradual, but the benefit that Torrent as a diabetes company can get is that we are relatively a small player in diabetes at rank 9. So for our diabetes base, these new launches can add a significant amount.
Sure, it helps. Just one last bit on the gastro portfolio. We are seeing a lot of tailwinds since we have exited, I wouldn't say exited, but since we are at the fag end of COVID. So anything particular trend-wise you're seeing in the gastro space for Ravipresol or Esomeprazole, or anything in particular that you could share?
So these brands and so these markets did see a continued uptake even post the Delta wave last year, so which would be Q2 last year. And so that continuation of that base made sure that that market for the full year was growing very fast. Obviously, that growth would get normalized this year, and hence the absolute growth numbers may look slightly low. But overall, the market is growing quite well. Our brand Nexpro is our leader brand, 365 crores on a MAT basis. This quarter has grown about 14%, and Veloz, on the other hand, has grown at about 20%, which is nearly a 200 crore brand. So our PPIs together, Nexpro and Veloz, which are now nearly 550 to 600 crores, we believe high double-digit growth, high teens growth is something that will be sustainable there.
High teens at the normalized level.
I think that's a normalizer. That's right.
All right, sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Now, since you have completed a Curatio deal, can you provide some more clarity on the funding part of the deal? In the call, you mentioned that it will be likely funded through debt, but now do you have better clarity on that part?
Yeah, Damayanti, is substantially debt.
Sorry, the entire funding will be through debt?
Yeah, it's substantially through debt, I would say.
Okay, and the average cost for that debt will be?
Should be around 7.2, I would say.
Around 7.2. Okay, so this year you'll be adding on debt for this funding. On the existing debt you had earlier, like planned to... what is it, pay off debt substantially. So for this year, how much net reduction we should expect on the debt part?
So the existing debt which would be paid off is 900 crores. And then this, on the top of that, this 2,000 comes. So I think there would be a net addition of roughly 1,100, 1,200 at the year end.
Okay, so 900 crore debt payment on the existing obligation, and then this Russia will add on. So net basis around 1200, you are saying?
Correct.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Sheth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So just one question, like the AICD Q2 growth is somewhere in range of like 15 to 18% range, and your reported numbers are on 13% range. So why there is a 4% of difference between the reported and the AICD numbers? Is there any specific reason for that?
No, it's not really clear yet, but this is something that happens occasionally. I mean, even in the previous quarter, the market was showing 2% growth, and even the normalized COVID normalized market was showing mid-single digit growth. But compared to that, our growth was 14% reported. So I think if you probably look at the AIC growth on a MAT or even YTD basis right now, which is showing about 7% for the market, as against that, Torrent's reported growth is about 13-14%.
One question on your other income side, which is lower for this quarter. Any specific, is there any forex element in other income side?
Correct, correct, correct. So I think that movement which you're seeing is basically because the forex gains have come down this quarter.
Cool. And also, you mentioned about some 7 crore of one-off in other operating. So it is related to which part of the business?
No, no, it's related to U.S. part, and it's not 12 crores, it's 7 crores.
7 crores, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it for now.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. A very basic question again. So between, let's say, the Brazil branded generic market and India branded generic market, how would you, basically, what would be the key difference in the way the business is conducted in both of these markets?
So India and Brazil are intrinsically similar markets because they're both through physician coverage, and we have a field force in both markets meeting doctors. We have divisions. The regulations are slightly different compared to India in Brazil. For example, there is the NLEMPs that we have in India as one regulatory framework, which is slightly different in Brazil, which maybe Sanjay can explain a bit more. But broadly speaking, the market dynamics are quite identical in terms of sales and marketing, in terms of market potential, in terms of competitive positioning.
Correct. I mean, that's the reason why Brazil was one of the first geographies we chose outside India, because it resembles India quite closely. So it's a self-paying market. Patients pay for most of the medications themselves, and doctor prescriptions are respected a lot. So essentially, you build equity with physicians, and that's what we've managed to do over the last 15 years in Brazil. So it's a long-term game, and we're playing the branded generic business quite along the same recipe as we do in India.
Can you just elaborate the difference on the NLEMPs, how they are different?
Yeah, so Brazil is slightly different in the sense that all products have some kind of price regulation. So what the government does is differentiates the products into three categories based on the intensity of competition. So category 1, 2, 3, 1 being the most competitive and 3 being the least competitive. So the least competitive tend to get lower price increases, authorized price increases every year, and the most competitive get higher price increases. So these are list price increases, and after that, companies are free to do whatever they want in terms of the actual price increases that they take on any particular product. So that's how the difference in the India, the NLEM is the list. In Brazil, there is no finite list. All products are subject to price regulation, I would say. And the price regulation takes place through annual increases that are allowed, but different level of increase by category of the market.
Okay. But isn't it a little bit counterintuitive, like, most competitive would be allowed higher price increases? Because people will not take it because of the prisoner's dilemma, is the way to put it.
Yeah, so the market is not concentrated, it is diluted. So if there are 10 players, they allow a higher price increase. Because they think that the competition will drive the price down lower.
Okay, perfect. And let's say a slightly longer term question from the India chronic therapy segment, right? So I think currently, as per IQ, we are 36% coming from the chronic, and I think maybe 15% is semi-chronic. But when I look at just the chronic piece, 70% is the sleep therapy, cardio, anti-diabetic, and then CNS. Do you see, you know, let's say 5-10 years down the line, this there will be significant shift in the proportion from different therapies, emerging therapies like derma, onco, maybe, you know, accounting for you know, higher proportion. If yes, then how much that proportion will?
Yeah, so chronic therapies will remain to be the dominant, I would say, growth drivers for the IPM because of increasing prevalence in lifestyle diseases, particularly diabetes and cardiac. Given the kind of new launches that have now come on the market at affordable prices, that should also lead to further expansion in the diabetes segment because more and more patients can get access to high quality drugs, which was not the case before. So that market should also see a pretty good volume expansion. And we believe that over the medium to long term, there is still a big under-penetration in the overall wellness space through VMN or skincare, which as disposable incomes increase, awareness increases, that segment should also increase from where it is right now. So hard to give a proportion of where it would go, but these are the at least two, three areas that we are quite confident about that over the next 5-year horizon, let's say, they should increase in contribution.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Vora from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Yeah, so firstly on US, what is the current capacity utilization for across all your plants? Catering to US?
So I think plants are fungible. All plants put together, the capacity utilization is roughly 54%, I would say.
54?
Yeah.
Okay, and like how do you see this moving like in 2 years, 3 years?
I think at this point in time, we feel the capacities are enough for the next 3 years. So no major expansion to be planned.
Yeah, no. So I meant, can this go to 70, 80, 6, or like how is in that way?
So I think the higher volumes have to come from generic businesses, right? Which is essentially Germany and US. So we'll have to see how these play out over a period of time. But yes, I mean, there's potential of bringing in large volume products out of Germany into the manufacturing capacities we have, but that will happen in a gradual way based on the cost competitiveness, right? I mean, so.
Okay. Secondly, on the Brazil, you mentioned that you entered Brazil because the market was broadly similar to India. So are there any other geographies you think, branded generic geographies like maybe Philippines or any other, which you think are interesting and you may want to have a look at it? If you could name some of them which you think are interesting.
So Torrent is already present in several branded generic markets. So generally, we don't comment upon them because the sizes are much smaller. So Brazil, Philippines, you know, roughly a business of about $40 million. Mexico, about $15 million. So those are BG markets of the future where we are investing and we are continuing to grow. So I would say there are at least 7 to 8 BG markets where we have a decent momentum.
Okay, but no plans as of now to like make something meaningful out of any of those specific geographies.
No. Don't get me wrong. There are plans to make it meaningful. It's on the way. So as soon as it becomes like substantial, we will start communicating on it. So it's the work that is done, which is not put in the public eye yet because it's still I would say quite modest in terms of overall size.
Got it. Okay, so you can't name one or two, or Philippines and Mexico would be the one or two which you referred.
Yeah, I can. I mean, we are pretty decent in Malaysia. We are good in Thailand. We are building in Kenya. So the South Africa is another country. Russia, we are doing efforts. So all of these are more in the, let's say, $10 million range countries. So I would say that we will give them prominence once they come across the $50 million threshold.
Okay, got it. And last, on the forex hedging part, like what is the general company policy? Like what percentage of revenues, forex revenues, are hedged and like for how long, what period?
So we do a 12 months forward cover every month on a rolling basis. So at any point in time, we are covered for the next 12 months. 100%.
Okay, got it, got it. Fine, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Gupta for his closing comments.
Sure. To conclude, I would just say that we expect our growth momentum to continue in the branded generic market, particularly in India and Brazil. This would be backed up by our new launches, market outperformance of current brands, field force expansion, and acquisition of the acquired portfolio. Germany should continue on a modest positive trend. And with that, I would like to conclude and wish you all a happy Diwali and a good break on next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Torrent Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.